Welcome back to the Divorce Solutions Podcast, everybody. I'm Jamie West from DivorceCom, along with Tracy Miller, veteran legal practitioner in the world of family law. Tracy, good to have you back. Today we're going to talk about something that I guess maybe doesn't get thought of a whole lot when you're separating and you're all wound up and full of usually angry emotion. Apologies. Interesting.
You know, when we were talking about this one, the first reaction when you were a lawyer is, oh, my God, don't admit liability. Don't say anything. Don't apologize. My God, that's just going to be, you don't do that. And, you know, if you're in the middle of a court action, you talk to your lawyer about how you're going to handle things. But my point in wanting to talk about this is it amazes me how so many clients, especially when you do mediation, are positive and respectful and even complimentary about their ex. It's not what the popular misconception about divorce, that it has to be ugly and acrimonious, because it just doesn't have to be that way. So here's a few examples I'll use to illustrate.
Okay.
I had a husband, long-term relationship recently, and he said to me, I'm still in my love with my wife. We just can't live together. Right? And you thought, wow.
It's honest.
Yeah. I've had a couple moms say, you know what? He's a great dad. I think he should have the kids half the time. I don't have any issue with that. Right? And I can't count the number of clients that I've had that have said, look, I'm looking for a fair deal here. I'm not trying to get every cent I can get. And there's a lot of people out there. But here's the other side that also amazes me. If you're truly trying to get your case resolved as quickly and inexpensively as you can, why in God's name would you be rude or disrespectful to the other side? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. And I was going to answer that question. The reason is simple. It's because your emotions are in control of you at that moment. So, you know, the people that are smarter than me that understand the psychology and the way the brain works will tell you that your back brain, the back section of your brain, is all about emotion. The front is all about the calm, logical. And when we're in these situations, sometimes we have trouble. We'll slip into the emotional, go away from the logical, and we'll slip into the emotional. And then we'll do something like you just outlined. And then it's after that we realize, oh, we've just, you know, we've just hurt ourselves. We've just flattened our tires on the road to resolution here. So that's why they do it, because they're just totally allowing their emotions to control them, which you cannot afford to do.
Well, you can tank a settlement pretty quickly. Yep. You can polarize it so somebody is so offended and so upset that they're not even able to hear you anymore. And it goes back to what we were talking about in our previous podcast about DivorceCom. How you communicate in these situations is pivotal. It really is. I mean, I've seen people, when we've been in a mediation, I've seen people apologize.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I mean, it means the other person's being heard, but it also is for somebody to say, you know, I can see that this is really difficult for you. And that's, you know, I'm sorry that you're having such a hard time with that. Oh, my God, the power in actually recognizing somebody on the other side like that, as opposed to saying you didn't do enough, you're not entitled to anything, you don't deserve anything, all of that type of crap.
Right.
It's amazing. It's amazing the impact it has on people if you can do that.
And that's the thing. You know, we often use the word polarizing, and you've used it in this segment, and that's just it. When sides are polarized, that opens up the negative opportunity for people to do mind reading, and one side starts to think, well, this is how the other person feels about me. This is how the other person views me. This is how they think, and the other side's doing the same thing. And usually there's very little solid truth in that, because we always have a tendency, when left to our own devices, when we're wound up in these situations, to really think the worst.
And I think it becomes the situations that are the worst in family law, right? The people that are angry, and then they get lawyers that send out caustic letters.
Yeah, they throw fuel on the fire.
Yeah, or unfortunately, in a lot of cases, when people jump into the court system because it's adversarial, they think what that means is you got to try and tear the other person down, right? If I'm getting custody, you're not, so I have to point out every lousy thing you ever did. Or, you know, finances. If I don't think I should have to pay you any money, I'm going to say how you're lazy and how you're not doing anything. And it's right. All in the mindset and the approach, right? It just is not necessary. I don't care what context you're in.
No, but it does. You're right. It gets exaggerated. The small thing that, you know, was just a little bit of an irritant when you were married to the person or living with the person now gets blown up times 10 in the context of, you know, the separation papers and the lawyers, right? And it's just so unhelpful.
It's not necessary, right? It's even communicating between counsel, it's not necessary. And I guess the message for people is, no matter what process you're in, if you can be respectful and not engage in that type of guerrilla warfare, in the end, you're going to benefit by it, right? And that's what you do. That's when we're talking about DivorceCom. People need to know that every time you send an ugly email or an ugly text or whatever it is, you're going to pay a price for it.
Well, exactly. And I mean, we start with our clients doing that. And you do too, as a lawyer, you know, never mind DivorceCom, but in your law practice, you've been doing that for years.
Absolutely.
Even when you were doing a lot of litigation, you were still counseling your clients to say, look, I know you want me to send this like missile over to the other side, but that's not how I do it. And I'm not going to get, you know, as an advocate, I know your philosophy is I'm not getting down in the mud.
No.
Because when you get down in the mud, you get mud all over yourself. You know?
Well, and it doesn't get you to the result you want to get to, right? And,
right.
I mean, the number of times you tell people that they need to take the high road, clients said that they need to take the high road. And I don't know how many times I've done that. And it's offensive for people not to respond, right? If somebody sends one of those grenades over that's just ugly, or a text or an email or Facebook or whatever it is, people think they need to defend themselves. And to do that, now you're just into it, right? Now you're just down the rabbit hole and you're responding in kind, and it's not going to help you.
Why do you think apologies are so hard to come by? I mean, you know, I said earlier it's because people are wound up and they're polarized. Okay, fine. But I think, I know I asked you the question, I'll let you answer, but I'm really concerned about how society views accountability and taking responsibility. And I think we're in a time and a place in our society where people aren't really willing to do that to any large degree. In fact, they go away from it. They don't seem to recognize the power in an apology and the relief that they can get stress-wise, emotionally, from being the one who does take the high road, who does say, look, you know, I'm sorry for what I've done here. I'm sorry for my hand in this. You know, it takes two, and I, you know, I want to apologize for the things that I've done that have contributed to us not getting to where we need to be quicker, and I hope we can, you know, get back on track, that sort of thing.
In some ways, I think it's what you said initially. I think, you know, there's a lot of people, when they're separated, they're terrified, right?
Definitely.
They don't want to be separated. They don't want to lose all their money. They don't want to live in a dump. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. They don't want their kids to come from a broken home. And I think that's part of it. I think it's fear that, you know, they don't want this to be happening and they don't want it to be their fault. And they also don't want to look weak, right?
That's right.
They're always afraid they're going to get hammered by the other side because of every TV show you've ever watched.
Right.
And I think people are very afraid that if they do that, somehow it's just going to be to their disadvantage. But
it doesn't work that way. You're always stronger. No. You're always stronger when you're willing to be accountable, when you're willing to take responsibility. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, and obviously you as a lawyer, I can tell you from firsthand experience of being, you know, in courtrooms, judges don't view that as weakness at all.
No.
They view it as strength. Honestly,
I think you're right. I mean, I think
if you're insightful, that shows something good about your character.
And I think probably any lawyer that's listening to this and you think, yep, if your client's going to admit anything, they need to run it by you first. And I absolutely agree. Right. You're in the middle of a court action. You talk to your lawyer about how you're going to handle this. But in my experience, there's a lot of times where if people have done something stupid, I think you get more points across the board from everybody if you go, yeah, that was stupid, I shouldn't have done that.
Well, the other side, the other side, or the other side's lawyer is going to question you on that thing. And and if you think that somehow lying or bullshitting your way around it is going to help you, you're out of your mind. Just own the things that you've erred at, and be contrite. Again, you know, the apology. Just say, you know, it was a mistake. Shouldn't have done that.
Going humble, it goes a long way, I would think.
Well, it does. It takes all the it takes all the steam out of things. Because what now the other side's lawyer, what's he or she got left to hit you with at that point, right? You just owned it.
I think a lot of lawyers that do this right before you put clients up. I mean, you say to them, "Okay, where are the landmines? Where are the landmines?" When you're prepping your own witnesses, right? If something's going to explode, I would like to know in advance, and I'll deal with that. Right? I'm not going to lob it out there and wait for somebody else to find it. So yeah, I mean, strategically, that's definitely part of it when you're dealing with cases like that.
And let me tell you something else in the context of what I do with clients. We're talking primarily here about apologies between the warring parties or the separating parties. Hopefully they're not warring. But apologies can count between lawyers, between clients and their advocates, because, you know, I'm sure you've had set-tos with clients at times, and a client who, you know, is willing to understand their fallibility when it comes to their advocate will get a lot further with their advocate if they step forward and say, listen, I'm sorry about how I conducted myself with you on the telephone yesterday or an email. You know, I wished I hadn't sent that email to you. I was feeling this way. It's not an excuse, but you know, and then you've got to tell the person, you know, I respect this about you. I respect that about you, because we're all human beings. Right. And I'm sure the same thing goes on with lawyers, where a lawyer has to say to a client, look, I may have been a little short with you yesterday. I had 500 things on the go and I was, you know, having a little bit of an off day when, you know, my desk was piled up, not an excuse, but I just wanted to let you know, like, I'm sorry that you feel you got short shrift or something. I mean, we all have to do that, don't we? Aren't we all fallible?
And I think what it does is at some point you have to have a genuine conversation about this stuff, right, to get it done. And I think the other thing is it brings the temperature down in the room, because I think as soon as you're on the attack and you're laying into somebody, I don't think they can hear you at some point. I really don't.
They stop listening.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a different part of your brain, just like you were saying, one of the seminars we were doing on collaborative law, and they were talking about literally when somebody's being that criticized, your part of your brain about sitting down and logically having a discussion about how to resolve something just shuts down.
It doesn't even
function anymore. Oh yeah. As soon as you're in somebody's face like that, they can't even hear you.
Yeah. And so there you go. I mean, that's why the communication's important. And okay. If we accept that we're all fallible and we're all human and we all get emotional and we all, you know, run the risk of saying something that we shouldn't or writing something we shouldn't, well, then it should be okay for us to own it and apologize to the other side. But people stop too short. And what we're trying to sell to people today, honestly, is take the extra step. Take the extra step. Feel the strength that comes with owning your error and making, you know, whatever you want to call it, putting the olive branch forward, making a, you know, a proper professional apology the other side. Because you should be, once you're separated, you should be treating the other person like somebody you would treat in business anyway. I mean, I know that the person might be the father of your kids or the mother of your kids and all of that. Okay. But you really do need to view it as a business relationship going forward now.
That's some really good advice too, right? Because I think if you look at it as a business, you don't have to like everybody that's a customer. You really don't. You don't have to like everybody that you work with, but you have to be civil. You have to be respectful. and you have to stay on task, right? And I think that's exactly how people need to deal with it. This isn't an opportunity for you to tell her everything you hated about her for over the last 10 years. That's not getting anywhere. And if you followed it and it, like those guidelines, and it was more of a business relationship, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it would go a lot better.
Yeah, there you go. We want to remind everybody Divorce Solutions is, you know, it's a conversation and your situation is unique. And therefore, we're not giving legal advice here. We're not giving health advice. We're not giving financial advice. You have to go and seek out your own professional to deal with your particular situation. And Tracy, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like to make contact?
It's Miller Law and Mediation, and it's Tracy at miller-law.ca.
All right, and you can always reach me, jwest@divorcecom.ca, and you can visit the divorcecom.ca website to learn more about what we do to help you communicate better in your situation. Tracy, as always, great chat, great spending a bit of time with you here, and I look forward to the next episode. We'll talk to you then.
Yep, love doing this.
All right, take care. Bye for now.